This is another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie on Community Radio WCOMLP Chapel Hill. Ann Carver, Tofu Dave, the host, and today I have Katie Parla. Her new book is Tasting Rome. She's in town for a sold-out event tonight at the Siena. A great dinner. Katie, how are you today?
I'm great. So excited to be in Chapel Hill for the first time.
Yes, and I'm excited. I was looking at your new book, and I see one of the things that you've delved into in your time in Italy with food is also history. And I was fascinated, and I think our listeners will be, that you uncovered some connections between Italian food and Sephardic Jewish cooking, if I have the story right. Could you explain to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Rome has obviously a millennial history, and the Jewish community's first arrival in Rome dates back to 121 BC. So often when we talk about Jewish cooking in Rome, we just assume all the Roman Jews are from that ancient community. But in fact, in the 1490s, Spanish Jews arrived from Sicily, which was under Spanish dominion at the time, and when they escaped the Inquisition, many fled to Rome and brought their culinary traditions with them, and the local Roman Jewish community was enriched once again in 1967 when Libyan Jews fled from Libya and settled in Rome, bringing a whole new rich array of dishes with them.
And do you have a couple of examples of how the Jewish culinary traditions melded with the Italian that might be of interest to our listeners?
Well, there is a tradition of lots and lots of deep-fried foods in the Roman Jewish tradition, which
really?
Is shaped just not by the laws of kashrut, but also the 300-year period in which Rome's Jews were confined to a walled ghetto. And fire-prone kitchens in homes weren't really adapted to large-scale cooking endeavors, so a lot of people would eat street food out on the sidewalk, and fried food stalls would sell things like fried artichokes, fried and battered vegetables, fried cod, fried zucchini flowers. Many of these things have been sort of adopted into the Roman Catholic tradition, although I should mention that the deep-fried artichoke is called carciofo alla Giudia, Jewish style, acknowledging its origins, whereas the others have sort of been co-opted without describing their original influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of interesting. You just mentioned zucchini flowers, and many of my Mexican friends here in Chapel Hill and Carborough have a dish that they call flor de calabaza, which is sort of a tortilla with, I think, the same thing, zucchini or squash flowers in it. Quite a delicious
I absolutely love
dish.
This ingredient. It's so ubiquitous in Rome. And for €1 at the market stalls, you can find a bunch of 6 to 10 zucchini flowers or squash blossoms. Although in Rome, we make this in a very specific way. We don't have a huge range of preparations for zucchini flowers. They're generally found stuffed with mozzarella, a little bit of salted anchovy, and then they're battered and deep fried. Again, deep frying is sort of a dominant approach to cooking in Rome.
Wow, really interesting. Katie, let me ask you another one. We may have some listeners who want to make a quick, simple, at-home meal. Are there any quick tips you can give people for just doing something at home with what may be even in their kitchen or require only a quick trip to get a simple ingredient that is fairly easy to do that sort of anybody could do and would taste really great?
Absolutely. There's a really quick pasta called spaghetti aglio olio e peperoncino, spaghetti with garlic oil and a little bit of chili. And we use a very mild chili in Rome, but you're free to freestyle and use whatever you have at your disposal. Yeah. And in Rome, we have a certain sort of range of ingredients available, but you can cook in the Roman spirit wherever you are. A dish that I love that can be made anywhere is pollo alla romana, Roman-style chicken, and it's chicken that's cooked in a pan with some tomato sauce and lots of bell peppers, onion. You're also free to give this a little bit of spice if you'd like, but that's super, super simple. And then Romans love aggressively cooked vegetables. So you can bake whatever you happen to have in season or available in your pantry in the oven with breadcrumbs and olive oil. Or if you've got leafy greens like spinach or chard or even some dandelion greens, you can blanch those, wring them out, and then cook them in a pan with oil and garlic, and if you like, chili.
Ooh, that sounds really tasty to me.
And that's a full meal.
I should mention at this point that you have a website and a blog called katieparla, PARLA.com, which is really interesting.
Thank you.
And your book is called Tasting Rome, and it has a bunch of beautiful pictures of well-cooked dishes along with some really nice recipes in it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and the site has lots of Rome resources, so even if you aren't interested in cooking, you can follow my advice on your future trips to Rome and eat all the most delicious things.
Now, Katie, I'm a pizza aficionado, I have to say.
Same.
I cook pizza at home. I've cooked for years, even in the backyard over a wood fire, and I noticed that your book has at least one, maybe more, pizza recipes. There's one you have in the book called Pizza Romana. I wonder if you could speak a little bit about the new pizza craze and any of your particular feelings or predilections on what makes a good pizza.
I also am very into pizza. So there actually are three pizza recipes in the book. And when you use the word pizza in Rome, what you actually mean depends on the context. So like pizza romana is this thin crusted, sort of chewy crusted flatbread that's round and topped with toppings of your choice. We also have lots of other flatbreads, pizza bianca, pizza rossa. And I love that the recipes in Tasting Rome are inspired by the sort of best expressions of those pizzas, inspired by the finest baker's recipes, but they're adapted to your own home kitchen. I think you can really get some wonderful results with some quality flour, and I know that there are wonderful sources of flour in the U.S. that can provide the same sort of protein-rich ingredients that we use in Rome. And you can use your home oven. You don't need any special equipment, though. Certainly, if you have a pizza stone or a pizza oven, you can use those things. But no special instruments are necessary for creating a really delicious Roman-style pizza.
Right. That's a great tip. And there's always these debates about temperature of the pizza oven. Of course, many home ovens can only go up to around 500 degrees, 5 1/4. But you're saying that's sufficient. You can still get a good pizza.
Exactly.
Out of the home oven.
Exactly.
And I agree. Yeah. Well, Katie, I wish you success with this. I have one final thing I have to ask you. My DJ handle is Tofu Dave, and the reason, of course, is that I'm a vegetarian. I love tofu, and I've cooked many meals with a friend of mine who does Caribbean spices, Pluto's Caribbean spices, and he always does the jerk chicken or salmon, and I do a really nice jerk tofu dish. I looked at your blog, and I noticed you seem to be an aficionado of tofu, especially in the Chinese food as you travel, but I just have to throw this at you. What about tofu and Italian cooking?
Well, yeah. I suppose...
Have I stumped you, Katie?
I'm stumped. I mean, I suppose you could... maybe integrated into some of the vegetable dishes, but we're definitely a more meat protein-based society. Although you have much more experience with tofu than I do as someone who's lived in Rome for almost 15 years. So I challenge you to make a lot of the meat dishes vegetarian with the addition of tofu.
Okay, well, I'm glad you challenged me, Katie. I'm going to challenge you to investigate that for the future.
Great.
I wish you much success with this great book again, Tasting Rome, just out, and Katie Parla in town. Check out her website, katieparla, PARLA.com. I wish you a success with this, and I hope the dinner in Chapel Hill tonight is wonderful. I'm sure it will be, Katie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for talking to us here at Between the Covers, the Literature Quickie on WCRFP Chapel Hill. And